Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Okay, you can take a seat. We haven't got very long of this stuff that you know, God wants to do, but it's all part of. This is all part of it. It's not, the word isn't separate, but this, you know, the sound amongst us that, you know, laying down our lives to one another and bringing hope to people where there is no hope, where they can't see a way forward in their situations and tough situations, you know, disastrous circumstances. We have hope. We have the means amongst us in the body of Christ. And that was always God's plan, that he would be brought glory through his body, through us. And I just want to read to you a couple of verses from Acts that just speak of, you know, this depth of living, of sharing life, of sharing what we have, of sharing when we see though our brothers and sisters in need, let alone out there. Okay, in Acts 2:42, it talks about the believers being devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing their meals, including the Lord's Supper. Not just the Lord's Supper, but, you know, sharing meals, sharing life, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Okay? It's a level, isn't it? A depth of living that the original guys lived in. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and just generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Goodwill from all the people around them. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. To this life, this body life that was going on, people were joining it. Okay? Acts 4, verse 32 says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. And it's one of the things that, you know, as a church, as a college, as what has been a ministry and staff, we're working hard to just pull everyone together of one heart and mind, one purpose, where there is unity. They felt that what they owned was not their own. Okay, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy people among them. No needy people among them. No needy people among them. Because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought money to the apostles. Encouragement looks like something. Encouragement is not just, you know, encouraging with words. Right. A son of encouragement gave all he had. Amen. Amen. And this sound, you know, the Lord's just been talking to me. This sound is, you know, I know some people find it hard. They feel like we're a noisy church. We're too loud. The music's too loud. It's, you know, they might see it as a hype or too much. Sorry, I'm going to switch mics. Sorry, guys. But it's the sound of the depth of God's heart. I believe. It's a sound of his heart that he gave. He gave everything. He's the giver. He shared his son's life. There's no greater thing you can do is give up your child, give up your son for someone else. That's a depth there that cost everything. But the sound it produces is life and love and hope. That God wants again in this nation. I want to read some the word to you. Okay, I'm going to read through some of Ephesians 2 and 3. And I want you to listen because just let God speak to you. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, the Lord was talking to me the other night about celebration, that he is on the move in the earth. He is, all his promises, his faithful promises to Israel are at the moment being outworked in practice. Everything he promised we can see happening on the ground in that land. And there are promises for this nation. There's a call on this nation. And God was speaking to me that what is being manifest, kingdom on earth in Israel, is the same he wants to do. There's a call on this nation that he wants to see manifest. And if you don't know, I've been reading a book just very briefly called God's Heart for a Dying Land that I got in London a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't realise this, but this nation from between... Christianity, from Catholic Rome, came to this nation. But before it arrived in this nation, there was already evidence that there were believers here, and that faith came from pure Middle East Christianity from between 37 AD and up to when Roman Christian came in. And there's a few quotes here that says there's a lot of evidence that the King of the Britons proclaimed Britain as a Christian nation by a royal decree in 156 AD. Britain was the first country ever to declare itself Christian. What a wonderful heritage that is. According to Tertullian, I don't know who he is, but around 198, Christianity had not only permeated through the area occupied by the Romans, but it also spread to Scotland. And there's a quote here from him: parts of Britain were inaccessible to the Romans, but had yielded to Christ. Sibelius of Rome wrote in 220, that's how far back this goes, the first nation which called itself Christian after the name of Christ was Britain. In 402, Chrysostom of Constantinople said that the British Isles have received the word. Consequently, if you should go to the British Isles, you would hear all men everywhere discoursing matters out of the scriptures. This is our inheritance. When God's been talking just recently about singing, coming into our inheritance and our heritage, each one of us, it's far greater than we perceive up here. There's a depth of God in this nation in its very beginnings. The first king, Alfred, was a full-on Christian. Listen to this. The first king of the English. He was keen that people were educated, so he created a school at his court, inviting scholars from abroad to teach, as well as opening schools all over his kingdom. He constructed several buildings and is credited with founding Oxford University. He was very concerned that people received justice, reviewing many judges' decisions to see if they were just. He translated 50 Psalms into Anglo-Saxon and translated into English many books. It says, Alfred had God at the centre of everything he did. He said of himself, there is only one way by which to build my kingdom, and that is on the sure and certain foundation of faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ crucified. It is on that foundation that I intend to build my kingdom. Our first king established Jesus as king in this nation. And it set his most important work was his codification of English law, known as the Law Code. Our law came from the Ten Commandments. It didn't come from Europe, didn't come from Roman laws, civil laws. That's come in very recently, European law, civil law and humanistic law. Our laws in this nation came from the Ten Commandments and from different passages in the New Testament that these guys used. Our nation's heritage. is God's heart, God's law. That's our inheritance we're going for. Not just our own patch, not just my family, not just my street. This nation, there are seeds, there were martyrs, there's blood, there are seeds in this nation have been sown that God is calling. It's the sound. It's the sound from those lives. It's the sound from those lives that paid the price for us to have the Bible in English. From this nation, for every man to be able to read. It's the sound, that great cloud of witnesses that it talks about in the Word. They wouldn't stand at the edge of the race quiet. There's a sound. They're saying, come on. Britain is God's. It's yours, church, for the taking.
Come on.
Still too quiet. There's a hope. And it's God in this, on the move in this nation. Those seeds that were sown bearing fruit in our, the harvest, the greatest harvest, this nation. God believes it. God believes it. This nation has a call. We have a call. Church has a call on its life to be that hope. It strengthens us through that call. Justice and righteousness re-established in this nation. It's our heritage. His justice from our first king. His justice and righteousness back in this nation. We have a window of opportunity with the government at the moment. The last government apparently passed over 100 laws that were turning that tide. And when the call that Clive does and we show, when he talks about the tide of a godless society turning, we have a window at the moment with this government looking to change some of those laws. We've got to be vocal. We've got to stand up and make a difference. I believe with our Queen, the moment we have a window. When we had a believing monarch in this country, it was going all right for those believers. And every time someone came in that wasn't, or Parliament wasn't, it shut it down. That's when the persecution began. We have a window while we have a monarch who believes in God. Yes. I don't know how long that's going to be. We have a window, an opportunity in this church, in this land, to freedom to speak out, freedom to do something and see this turn, this tide turn that Clive's talking about. To stand up for justice and righteousness, to see the abortion law changed. We have that call from God. I just want to read through some scriptures. What Christ has accomplished for us, for everybody. In Ephesians 2, the conference that we're having coming up, you know, for me, God spoke to me. This conference of Jew and Arab, being able to stand here as friends, is the power of God. And it speaks of God's heart of reconciliation that he wants with people. It speaks of his heart. And only the power of God and the love of God can have outworked that. For these two guys to be able to stand up here in a few weeks' time. And I believe God wants, through them being here, God wants to do a powerful work in this town and in this nation of a reconciliation. This conference, God's been speaking to me, is not just about these two guys coming and bringing, you know, an aspect of Israel that we as leadership want you to clock hold of. God wants to do something by his Spirit. One day. It's a one-day conference. Where we've plugged this conference out in the local papers for people to come in the area, to come and hear a Jew and an Arab on the same platform who are living it out. And this nation, British people, there's an aspect of us that God wants to change. Do a heart work where that his reconciliation can happen. I just want to read through these scriptures and I want you to listen to them and just let God speak to you about your own heart and life for a few minutes. Don't forget that you Gentiles, used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united not just Jew and Gentile, but he united us. He united believers in this town and in this nation, okay? He united us into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations, and he made peace between Jew and Gentile. He made peace between us by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Now, hostility there is like, you know, we imagine it between Jew and Gentile, Jew and Arab. We're used to seeing it at work. We can see it on our TV screens and we hear about it. And how the world has been hostile to Jewish people over the years. But, you know, we would say we don't have that kind of hostility going on. But I just felt God telling me to go through what hostility actually means. And whether we do have any hostility going on. Because I know when we plugged about this conference going on publicly, I know there are people that would want to come, but they don't want to come here to Kingdom Faith because there's stuff going on in their hearts. And it's something that God wants to deal with, because where there's unity, God commands blessing. And I know he wants to move in Horsham and do a powerful work. It's not just this church, it's the body of Christ. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of amazing believers in this town. And what God wants to accomplish by all of us together, the kingdom, the church, the body of Christ. But I know there's stuff in hearts here and out there. So we can't come together even for a day. And God wants to change it. And I know it needs a miracle. And it starts in our hearts. Starts in my heart. Because I looked up hostility, and hostility excludes. It's exclusive. Hostility fears. It just simply dislikes. It resents. It's resentment. It mistrusts. That's hostility. To mistrust the person sitting next to you. It's suspicious. It's cynical. It's unfriendly. It's angry. It's isolating. It isolates others and it isolates me, you. You isolate yourself. And it's lonely. That's all the stuff that hostility is. And we can say, well, it sounds, it's hateful and it's, we don't have that. But actually, the bottom line is, every day in, day out, that's what it looks like. And God, to move in this nation with his love, his deep love, he's put that to death, that wall. We just read it. He put to death walls of hostility. There are walls between us. There are walls between Christians in Horsham and us. There are walls between us and other churches. And it's not in the leadership, because we have great relationship with the leaders in Horsham. Anyway, let's carry on reading, shall we? He brought this good news of peace to us who were far away, and peace to the Jews who were who are near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. That reconciliation, reconciling, bringing back. Reconciling looks like this. It brings us near. Being reconciled brings us near. God brought us near to himself through Jesus' death on the cross. It brings us near to one another. Not lonely. Near to God, near to one another. Reconciliation is approval. God approves of us. We can approve of one another. Amen? It accepts us. Reconciliation accepts one another, faults and all. That's love. It accepts people. Accepts each other. It strengthens us. It encourages us. Reconciliation honours. We honour one another. We forgive one another. Reconciliation is kind. And it's generous. There's no fear in this love. There's no fear in reconciliation. Reconciliation is unity. And it's a sound. Yes. It's a sound that God wants. It says, so now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. We're no longer outcasts to him or to one another or to the body of Christ in this area. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Members of a family. Right. So one of the guys was saying up there, maybe Cyril did, I can't remember. We're a family. We should be family. The sound and what people see from us is family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And this is God's plan, okay, God's amazing plan, that both Jews and Gentiles who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. He wants this for all of his body, okay? Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is a powerful work that Christ has accomplished. That the heavenly authorities and rulers see. They're going to see here in this church, in the church in this town. And from these guys coming and speaking at the Israel conference, it's declaration of God's power at work. Amen. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord, the plan of reconciliation. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Okay, this is amazing, this next passage, this part of the passage, because we so often read this passage about where Paul starts talking about love, but it's all connected. Paul knew this kind of reconciliation can't happen without revelation of God's love. It's only God's love that can do it. It's only God's love that breaks down walls of hostility between them and between us. Paul said, when I think of all this, he says, when I think about this great plan that God had shown him, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Revelation of God's love for each one of us. In our own hearts and lives, trusting roots that go down deep. May you have the power to understand. May you experience the love of Christ. that is so great, it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's the revelation of his love that completes us. It's revelation of his love amongst us that completes us. Amen. Fullness of life and power. Do you want fullness of life and his power in you? It's rooted in his love. It's rooted. It's you being rooted in his love. Revelation of that love that changes you. You'll be complete. Now all glory to God. We talk about his glory, don't we? All glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. He has infinitely more for us than we could ever imagine or think up. He has infinitely more. And it says, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This reconciliation, this work of Christ on the cross dying for us. This work, this love, this reconciliation that breaks down the walls in our own hearts and lives that we have built up for whatever reason. Right. His love pulling them down. Paul knew it was only his love that could do it. Only his love. Therefore, it's amazing how this flows, isn't it? Therefore, I beg you, I urge you, Paul says, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. So that, you know, love and people are our purpose. Love and people are our purpose. Not purpose before people. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. Body of Christ. That's where his glory is seen. That's where his glory is seen. A united body. Binding yourselves together. Binding yourselves. There's a depth of commitment. Of loving one another. Of being family. We bind ourselves together. With peace. For there is one body in this nation. One body, one spirit. Just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. One church can't save this nation. But the body of Christ. The body of Christ living at this level with one another. We're going to see God. His glory revealed. Amongst us. Amen. John 15:12, it says, the command I give you to obey, this is Jesus. The command I give you to obey is simply this. Love one another in the same way I've loved you. No greater love than this exists. And it is expressed in your willingness to lay down your life for your friends. Reconciliation is about being friends with people. I just looked it up in the dictionary. It's being friends with people. And Pastor Clive was sharing on the first night we got together these last 3 days. And God was saying that things that have been tightly shut up against you. From Joshua, you know, where they were going into the promised land, Jericho was tightly shut up. God was saying through Pastor Clive, people, situations, circumstances that have been tightly shut up are going to open up before you. These walls are going to come down. And the very next day, I saw a situation with a friend of mine who's saved and her husband isn't. The very next day, there's a crack in that wall. There's a crack in that wall where he's been tightly shut up for years. For years. And it's happening. And all through this week, that crack has been appearing. But you see, what happens is the damage and the walls, the damage that's there, so people put up these walls. When those walls start coming down, it's messy. Yeah. When those walls start coming down, when those people open up, what is exposed and then what happens? And it looks like it's all going wrong and all hell is breaking loose, but it's good because God is at work. But we've got to be ready for that. We've got to be ready for the fact that it costs us when people's barriers start coming down. Because it can erupt in their families, it can erupt in their finances. It gets exposed that people are in thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds worth of debt. How can we help them? And it starts with what we're doing here in meeting one another's needs. The needs out there are so great. But if we start meeting our own here, God will then use us to meet the needs out there, and they are great. They are great. And they're very real issues that need very real answers. And God is able. God is so able to do it. And he wants to. He just needs the people that are willing and available. In our own hearts, there are walls. And in our own lives. And God wants to do a work where they come down. It's a deep work, but it brings freedom. It brings freedom. It brings life. It brings life. Right. Amen. Just stand to your feet. Sorry, it's gone on. Thank you, Jesus. Says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help and be eager to practice hospitality. Amen. Amen. There's a call and a sound. Can the guys come up? And from God's heart, of such a deep love. And I would you we won't do the whole song, we've got time, we can just do the background. Thank you, Jesus. And Clive, Pastor Clive's been talking about our response, hasn't he? Over the last few months, I guess. Our response to God and to those around us is everything. It's everything. And, you know, in this, there's a depth of love, commitment, compassion in the heart of God that is so real, it's so tangible. And the words Paul says, he wants us to experience that love. We can only love him because he first loved us, you know. It's our response. We respond. I'm so grateful to God for being saved that I'm noisy. I have my quiet moments where I meet with God face to face, and I love doing that. But what it produces is a sound of joy and thankfulness and relief and release. And there's great sound that God wants in this nation from millions of people that come into that love. They'll be so thankful, so relieved, so you won't be able to keep them quiet. You know, when Jesus came in and the Pharisees were like, shut those children up, they shouldn't be singing that. don't let the people shout. He said, Jesus said, even if they didn't, the stones would cry out. There's a cry that acknowledges Jesus and who he is and what he's done. But first of all, it's just before God right now that he's loved you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Respond to him. If you know there are walls still in your life and heart, you know, if you don't pull them down, they become a stronghold. But the enemy builds up in your own heart and your own life, between the church, so he can't move. He can't do what he wants to do. That's the enemy. That's the enemy, that is. God wants to move in the body of Christ. He wants to bring healing in the body of Christ, unity in the body of Christ, where he can move freely. If there are walls in your own hearts and you recognize them, just bring them, acknowledge them right now before the Lord, where it's just plain and simple disliking somebody, not trusting somebody. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. That walls in this place, in this town, in this nation. Lord, where as a people we're cynical and distrusting and we're afraid. Forgive us, Lord, and by your great love and your mercy, Lord, build us up in your love, build us up in your truth. Let your love and your compassion just flow amongst us, Lord, in a much greater way, that it's seen. The people out there would see the love amongst us, the love that we have for one another, that it's real, Lord, that it's real. Yes. That it's your love, it's tangible. It trusts, it hopes, it perseveres, it gives freely, it rejoices. It's your goodness, Lord, being displayed amongst us. It's your goodness, Lord, being displayed in this nation. Thank you, Lord, you come and build us up where there have been walls and we bring them before you. They come down now in the name of Jesus. Those walls come down. Lord, you have reconciled us to yourself. You reconcile us to one another, Lord. Come and do that work by your Spirit, Lord, of reconciliation. Amongst us here, amongst those that have left Kingdom Faith that have walls in their hearts, we tear them down in the name of Jesus. The Lord, you come and do a mighty work in this town. The Lord, you do a mighty work in this nation of love and reconciliation, where we build one another up. We don't tear one another down. It's your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deep calls to deep. Lord, you do a deep work, Lord. A deep work in us, Lord, in your people. A deep life-changing work, Lord, where we share the love of God amongst us, Lord. That turns the tide in this nation, Lord. It turns the tide in this nation of godlessness. Jesus. And people are loved. Marriages are reconciled. Children are loved, so they are kept. Jesus. A very real, real work of your love in this nation. Thank you, Jesus, that you first loved us. Thank you, Jesus. There may be some of you today that are here have never heard. It's the first time you've heard about his love. That Jesus died on the cross. God sent him to die on the cross that you could be reconciled to him. That he wants relationship with you. He's your friend. He's your friend. There may be some of you here that have heard that for the first time today, and in your heart, you want that friendship, you want that love, you want His life in your life, in your circumstances. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you here today and you want to respond to Him, to Jesus, to His love, He first loved you. Can you just acknowledge it to me? Can you put your hand up for me to see if you want that relationship with Jesus? If you want Him as your friend, as a lover of your soul, just let me know. Just put your hand up. We want to pray that He died to reconcile you to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. I thank you, Lord, for a deeper revelation this week for each one of us of your love, of your passion for us. That we carry that love and passion for others in a very real way. That, Lord, we make you known to those out there that don't know you. We make you known. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, quite a sobering word, but yet really encouraging at the same time, you know. God, deep calls to deep. And that's God's heart, you know. And so there might be some things you need to go, well, I think we all do probably need to go away just to continue to respond into the Lord to make sure that there isn't anything there towards anybody else within the body here. Or towards anybody else that you might know in the town. God's purpose, and a couple of weeks' time when we have this day with the guys from Israel coming, I believe something powerful is going to happen that day. It's quite a unique day. There isn't, as far as I'm aware, something like that that's happened in this nation where you have, you know, a Jew and an Arab on the same platform who are friends sharing and communicating biblical understanding of Israel, God's heart, what is God doing there now, and what's happening, how is God unfolding His plan and purposes. I believe it's going to be quite a prophetic day, and it does relate to what God has said to us about being a lead boat in this nation to do with Israel and bringing certain things. We're still getting hold of that and understanding that ourselves, but it's important that we've got a lot of people coming from other places around the nation. Some, I was told by one of the guys who's speaking, he's had people contact him from other nations who want to come just for the day, fly in because of what God wants to do. So it's going to be a powerful day in a couple of Saturdays' time. So let's just thank the Lord, shall we, for what He's been doing, what He's been saying into all of our lives today. Father, we thank You. We praise Your awesome name. Father, continue to work in every one of our hearts and lives in these days. Father, You say, guard the unity that You have amongst us. We want to guard that and not let anything get in that tries to take that away, Father, because where there's unity, You command the blessing. So, Father, we want to guard that unity as a body. Father, I thank You for the grace to work out Your word with one another, to lay our lives down, to love each other. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that has got to be You to enable us to do that. So, Holy Spirit, I thank You for the freshness of who You are coming upon every one of our lives, that You enable us to live the word in a way that really honors You, glorifies You, and really pleases You, that brings glory to Your name, Father. We praise Your wonderful, mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.